eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Super Bowl week rolls on. Welcome into Fantasy Football Today at DFS on Thursday, February 10th. I am Frank Stanfield, joined, as always, by Mike McClure and Tian Ajad. And today on the podcast, finally, we have our Super Bowl DFS mega preview. Stealing that phrase from our friends over at The Early Edge, of course. We'll talk about captain strategy, showdown lineup rules, and then we'll deep dive the matchups. We'll look at each position, we'll look at their salary, and of course, we'll break it all down for you here today on the podcast. And of course, we'll have a sneaky pick from my dad, the Don, and we'll wrap up the show with our cheat sheet, our favorite chalk contrarian and captain picks for this weekend slate. What's going on, Sia? How has the week been for you so far? I know normally this can be kind of a crazy time, Super Bowl week.
I'm sorry, I'm fully distracted, as you know, pre-show, by a first-round leader bet I made on KH Lee earlier today. So you said you started the show with "We are rolling along," and I'm really looking forward to the next 3 hours watching golf. As far as the Super Bowl, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's an outside shot I actually might be there. When I say outside shot, I mean very outside. So that'll definitely change up the week a little bit if I end up catching a flight real late and heading to the game. But no, I'm excited. You know, the thing about the Super Bowl, though, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, it's the end of the season. So it's like really hard for me to really look forward to something that I know puts finality on something that I really love. I mean, fortunately, there's other sports that I can, you know, focus on now, but I don't know. It's a little bittersweet.
See, I mean, I knew you had a good DFS year, but man, if you're going to the game or have the option to go to the game, you must be rolling in the dough. So,
well, I don't have the option yet. And to the extent I do, it's because somebody else's dough is probably helping me out. But it would be a really cool experience to go, obviously.
All right, Mike, how you doing, buddy? How has the week been so far for you? I know last we spoke, you were talking about all these different live streams going on. I know you got Early Edge. It's a busy time leading up to the Super Bowl.
Busy time leading up to the Super Bowl, but we love it. I just want the game to start now at this point, right? We've talked about it for a week and a half. I'm ready for it. And yeah, I can't wait. I like Sia. I am a little sad. I always get a little sad when it ends. You know, I was sad, probably more sad a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago when the Chiefs lost. Obviously, I was hoping to go to the Super Bowl myself, hoping to be out there, not going to go without Kansas City being there, of course. So, you know, it is what it is, but good opportunity to sit home on the couch and try to print some money on DraftKings.
Yeah, I know this is normally the time that we get to, right? The middle of Super Bowl week where we're just like, come on, man, like, let's speed it up. We want the game to start already. We've been talking about it for a while now. So I think we've officially hit that point, but we haven't hit that point when it comes to DFS because we haven't really broke down this game yet from a showdown perspective. We did a little bit of that on last week's podcast. If you went back and listened to that or watched it on demand, we do appreciate that. But see, we're back here for DFS. Few questions for you. How many lineups are you looking to play this weekend? What kind of contests are you looking to play in? Are you going to change it up? I know typically, you know, lots of single entries, three entries, but you know, last slate of the year, do you want to change it up? Maybe jump in the millionaire contest. I know that's a 150 max enter. So how crazy are we getting for Super Bowl weekend?
Probably not too crazy. I mean, I think I'm going to stick to my game plan of just playing, you know, various single entries, like maybe three or four single entry contests that I normally play, and maybe a couple three maxes. I might experiment with some of the MMEs, some of the max entry ones, but with lower dollar amounts. I just don't think I have much of an edge there unless I'm putting in a ton of lineups. So am I going to do maybe one lineup for fun because it's the Super Bowl? I guess, but it's not something I'm really focused on. I mean, from a bankroll management standpoint, if that's more than like 5% of what I'm putting in there, or maybe more than 10%, then I'm probably doing it wrong. So for me, I'm just going to keep it to the single entries, maybe a couple 3 max.
Same question for you, Mike. What are we looking at in terms of DFS this weekend? How many lineups are we looking to play? What kind of contests are you entering? I know earlier in the season, you were very, very big on Showdown, where you're entering, you know, at times up to 100 lineups in a given contest. So what are you planning to do this weekend?
So this weekend, I'll do my normal, like, 5 lineups that I'll play, and I'll have those sprinkled across single entries and 3 maxes. And then I'm going to bump it up to 20 total. The 20 total on DraftKings, that is, will be in the main Millionaire Maker. And then, and again, they have a 20 max entry tournament. So I'll have that max to 20, and then I'll play those same 20 in the 150 maxes. Over on FanDuel, I'll be playing 50 to 100 teams in their Millionaire Maker. Theirs is it's a much cheaper buy-in there. So on DraftKings, it's a $15 buy-in. On FanDuel, it's a $5 buy-in. So it's a lot less risk. It's a lot easier to max that one out. So I'll play between 50 and 100 on FanDuel there.
All right. Good to know. Yeah. If people want to take a shot at the Millionaire Contest, again, $15 over on DraftKings, $5 over on FanDuel this weekend. Let's start off with just strategy. And these are things that we talked about even before the season started, when we had an entire podcast dedicated to Showdown strategy. But I think, like anything else, and we've talked about this from a betting perspective, from a DFS perspective, Sia, we have to make sure, especially in a one-game lineup like this, in the Showdown format, that your lineups correlate. So what is the most likely game flow that you are expecting here between the Rams and the Bengals? And, you know, how many different, you know, how much are you changing up the possibility of that game flow? So obviously, like, you'll have your main game flow, like, whatever, the Rams win the game, but then how often are you changing that in the other lineups that you're making as well?
It's a great question, because you have to take some stands from a game script standpoint. So I'll probably have like 2 to 3 game scripts that are going to manifest themselves in my lineups. The main one, and unfortunately, the main one involved Cam Akers as my captain, you know, behind a defense, maybe behind Matt Gay, the field goal kicker, and some pass catchers on the other side for the Bengals. Not the quarterback, but the pass catchers themselves. The problem with that, and we'll talk about it later, so I won't go too in-depth now, is we're not 100% sure what Cam Akers' workload is going to be, with Daryl Henderson likely being active for that game. And then, of course, Sony Michel is in there. And, you know, obviously there is a lingering shoulder injury that may be an issue with Cam Akers. So that's something we'll talk about later on in the show. I think it's really important to kind of figure out what you're going to do with that. But so that's my plan initially, is to have maybe Cam Akers, or at least the running game, as the foundational point. And game script wise, you're thinking the Bengals are going to be having to play comeback ball in the second half. I think the other game script that is going to be prevalent for me is knowing that we're not really sure necessarily what's happening with the running backs. Let's put it on Matt Stafford's shoulders. That doesn't mean he's the captain necessarily, but it does mean you might have an LA Rams pass catcher, and then in your flex spot, you have another receiver and Matt Stafford. So that's another, or you could put Stafford in the captain spot. And then the third game flow for me, it would be, well, okay, what if I'm wrong about the Rams controlling this game? You could always put one of the pass catchers for the Bengals in your captain spot. In my case, I'm kind of taking a stand on T. Higgins. He saves me some money, so I might put him in the captain spot with Joe Burrow, likely with Ja'Marr Chase, and then figure out the rest of the pieces from there. Obviously, Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham likely to be involved to the extent they can fit in those lineups.
Yeah, we'll talk about Cam Akers a little bit later on, but, you know, as you mentioned, dealing with the shoulder injury and potentially 3 running backs in the mix. Obviously, Sony Michel is healthy. Sounds like Daryl Henderson is going to be active here in the Super Bowl as well. Mike, same question to you. Maybe what are the few different game flows, the likely game flows that you're expecting in this game? And if you can explain it, you know, how do you work that into, I know that obviously you use the optimizer a lot when creating these lineups. How do you maybe work game flow into an optimizer when spitting out the best Showdown lineups?
Yeah, so when you're spitting out the best Showdown lineups there and working into the optimizer, you're going to have to do some manual manipulation. So that'll be locking certain players in, excluding certain players, bumping projections on some. So some that I personally am doing, I'm betting really heavily on the game being low scoring. I think that that's going to be a source of edge in the DFS contest. It's not necessarily what I think will happen in the game. And I think it's important to recognize that, especially when you're building multiple lineups. I'm not building for what I think is most likely to happen. I'm building for what I think is underpriced, if that makes sense. So like, I think the game can definitely turn into a shootout, but in the scenario that it doesn't become a shootout, I think there's a massive edge just through playing the defenses and kickers. So one lineup that I've actually got pulled up right now is a Matt Gay captain lineup. And that's the lineup where both teams kind of struggle. The focus is on McPherson. I like Matt Gay just as much, if not more. Got the Rams defense in there. And then I've got Cooper Kupp, T. Higgins, Matthew Stafford, Joe Burrow. Just one pass catcher isolated with the quarterbacks, hoping that we get some field goals, some lower scoring, get some pressure on Joe Burrow, some sacks, things like that. Just ways to get different. That's what I'm going to be focused on the most. I'll be fading Ja'Marr Chase pretty heavily. I don't think I'll have much Ja'Marr Chase at all across my lineups. Just I think that if you take stances in certain spots, I think it's where I would like to go. I'll talk about why I want to fade Ja'Marr Chase in a little bit, but that's definitely one of the game scripts that I'm building. Another that I'm building, I think that you have to take stances on the Rams backfield. I think it's smart to take a stance on one of the guys or to take the stance and just completely avoid it. I think that that's going to be really smart. And then final generic slate notes that I would say, we've talked about this a few times, but it's incredibly valuable in two spots: showdown NFL, golf. Leave salary cap on the table. If you're using an optimizer, set a rule and make sure. So the salary cap is $50,000. Do not allow yourself to use more than $49,700. You need to leave at least $300 on the table. By doing that, you eliminate so many duplicated lineups. It's unbelievable. I'll have to pull up some of the actual data and maybe tweet that out. But just running through my basic projections that I have right now, just clicking optimize, 12 of the top 20 lineups use $49,800 or more. 12 of them. So those 12 lineups would immediately be eliminated. Those are 12 of the most popular lineups. When you have one game, the median projections from my source and all the other sources around the industry are going to spit out a very, very, very similar lineup. So you can bet that they're going to have very similar price points on them. So the easiest way to get different, isn't necessarily always going to be manually forcing that different game script. It's just simply limiting what it'll allow the computer to spit out. Or again, keep in mind, if you're doing it by hand, I would even drop that number down to 49,500. And I think you're going to have a lot of differentiation, which is going to be critical in this one game slate.
I think it's a great point that you bring up, Mike, because it's a mental block for anyone who plays DFS. I mean, you want to maximize the value of your players, and by trying to jam as many players within that salary as you possibly can, I think that's, it's just like a natural inclination that we like to do when playing DFS. So I struggle with it as well. I think it's a mental block, but again, I think it's a good way to get different in this spot with so many people playing on this one game slate. I think leaving salary on the table makes a lot of sense. Sia, what is your typical captain strategy? You've already mentioned a few names here. I know you brought up T. Higgins. Mike mentioned kickers already, and I'm happy he did. We'll talk about kickers a little bit later on as well. But what's your typical strategy for captains, and who are some of your favorites to target in this specific game?
Yeah, the strategy here for me is, first of all, you know, I think quarterback, people have the perception like quarterback's going to get, you know, most of the points. And I think that, you know, that's true to an extent, but that's not really where I'm going here. I think you have to take a stand on how the game is going to flow. And so for me, it was the Rams running game, which, again, we might get more clarity on later. We might not. And here's the thing. If we don't get more clarity and we just think, hey, we're not sure who's going to, quote, have the hot hand, one way to get different at that point is to play Cam Akers, because nobody is going to play him. I mean, not nobody, but most people are just going to either avoid the backfield or most likely put one of those running backs that they think is going to get run in the flex spot. So one way to potentially get different on game day is to just take the stand on Cam Akers and say, I think he's the most talented running back. Sean McVay has clearly shown a commitment to him coming off an Achilles injury and just throwing him in as the starter. Sony Michel hasn't done much lately, 10 carries for 16 yards last game. Certainly nothing impressive at 1.6 yards per carry. So there's an argument still to be made for Akers. So I still will have him in the captain spot with probably the Rams defense, again, maybe Matt Gay and some pass catchers on the way back. on the other side of the ball, because pricing is so restrictive and so, I mean, the pricing is really kind of high, higher than I'd want it to be. So I'm not just going to jam Joe Burrow in the captain spot or Cooper Kupp necessarily. I think for me, I'm taking the stand on Cam Akers if I think that's who's going to be the leading running back on City. It's going to be Cam Akers or it's going to be one of the pass catchers. I agree with Mike that it's probably going to be T. Higgins for me. I'm expecting a pretty good game out of him. I like his catch prop of over 5.5 receptions, even though it's getting plus money right now. And I think he's a very talented, underappreciated receiver that's likely going to be more of a safety blanket for Joe Burrow, especially if they're in a negative game script, if that ends up happening. So it's T. Higgins, it's Cam Akers, and, you know, a third one might be Cooper Kupp. I'll just suck it up and put Cooper Kupp in the captain spot. And then, of course, that's going to implicate Matt Stafford. I might throw in Odell Beckham there and just go from there with however much money I have left.
Mike, I think this might be another mental block situation when it comes to the showdown slate, where people just assume that they should throw the highest scoring player in the captain spot. That's not necessarily the case, because over on DraftKings, when you put a player in the captain spot, their salary moves up by 1.5x. So obviously that becomes very prohibitive, because you want to put Cooper Kupp or Matthew Stafford or Joe Burrow in the captain spot, but then it makes everything else in your lineup harder to figure out. So we have this puzzle piece where, maybe you find someone in the mid-range that you think can maybe outscore their projections, and you want to get that player in the captain spot so that you can fit other players in as well. So how do you typically handle this situation, and who are some names that you like in this spot?
Yeah, this is tough. I first want to talk about what Sia mentioned with the pricing and why it feels so tight. It feels tight because these teams don't use those secondary players like other teams do. Like, think about Kansas City. We would have Pringle. We would have Hardman. We'd have DeMarcus Robinson. You have the backup tight ends. You'd have the tight ends for Tampa Bay. You have some of those cheaper running backs. Neither one of these teams, like, the targets are so concentrated. That's why the pricing feels so restrictive. But as far as captains for me, it's going to be Cooper Kupp at the top. I'm not playing either quarterback at captain. It's really difficult to win in a cash game. It's fine. It's totally fine in a cash game. It provides a decent floor, but winning a tournament, which is what I am personally trying to do at the Super Bowl, at least, is what I'm most concerned with. I'm not as concerned on the final slate with trying to min cash and grinding out a little profit. I'm trying to make a lot of money on the Super Bowl, or I'm basically losing the entry and moving on to next season, right? So what I'm looking at here, though, for a quarterback, it's incredibly difficult for them to be an optimal captain, because if one wide receiver out there catches two of the touchdowns or has 100 yards, 10 catches, and the touchdown, it's going to be incredibly difficult for them unless they're racking up rushing yards, scoring rushing touchdowns. Neither one of these QBs has really shown the ability to be massive runners and have that really high floor. Like with Mahomes, Murray, all those guys, you have half a touchdown built into their score just from their rushing upside. You don't have that here. So they're crossed off the list for me. T. Higgins is my favorite on the Cincinnati side, but I'm actually going to Joe Mixon. I like Joe Mixon in this spot just because he is one of the players that still could, within a reasonable doubt, still be the top scoring player on the slate. He could easily land in the end zone twice, once from a pass, once from a rush. Like, it could definitely happen. He's not going to be the focus because they haven't been able to run the ball very well. I've also already bet his under. So it might seem weird, like, why are you playing him in the captain if you bet his under? Because I personally think that he's going to still be involved in the red zone should they get there, right? So that's why I want to play him. The ownership is going to be low enough there. Then next for me is going to be Odell Beckham. But it's going to be focusing on players that can catch passes and find the end zone, have those large workloads. It's hard to get Cooper Kupp in. So the last thing I'll recommend here, which is, again, counterproductive to the Joe Mixon lineup. However, and obviously it's a very different lineup. Because there are so few cheap players on this slate, I do it all the time in the NBA when we get to the NBA finals, especially on FanDuel. I take a zero intentionally. I'll pick someone who could, in a wild scenario, see the floor. Same thing here. For me, I'm going to punt a spot in this game, and I'm going to punt that spot with Chris Evans. The reason why I'm going to do that is because that is the biggest leverage point here. Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine could see heavy workload if Burrow is under pressure. Either one of those two guys gets hurt in any way, shape, or form in this game, Chris Evans is $400. If not, I punt with him. He's my final spot. If I'm able to punt with him, now I can comfortably get Burrow, Higgins, Kupp, and Stafford easily, and one of the kickers if I want to, in the same lineup. So that's something I want you guys to strongly consider in some of your Cooper Kupp type lineups. Because the other thing, if Cooper Kupp is going off and scoring the amount of fantasy points needed to be the optimal captain, there's a chance that Chris Evans is just simply on the field for even a play when they're in a hurry up situation, anything like that. There is a chance that he sees the field and he is a legitimate weapon in the passing game for them.
All right. You're right. Go ahead,
Frank. I just want to add, I'm looking at one of the four lineups I've already made. Chris Evans is in it and Cooper Kupp is the captain. And I've got just a mix in between there, of course. And the idea was, and Mike mentioned this on the last show, and I'm taking that advice. He either gets something or he doesn't, but that doesn't mean you don't win because he doesn't get something if the five guys you have end up being optimal. So that's definitely something to consider. There's a few guys like Jake Funk is in there, which honestly wouldn't really matter if let's say Daryl Henderson is active. Like, Jake Funk is probably not going to touch the ball, but there are guys down there that at least have a possibility. Obviously Skowronek is on there too, that have the possibility to touch the ball and the possibility to maybe get a touchdown. But even if they don't, you might be okay.
Yeah. Plus, look, Jake Funk just has a cooler name. So if you just want to punt the spot anyway, like, why not? I mean, he's $200 less than Chris Evans. But those are the ones. Those are the sub 1K punt options on this slate. It's Skowronek, who is 600, Chris Evans, 400, Jake Funk, and then a bunch of other. Who are these guys? Those guys are priced down at $200. And Mike, I'm happy you brought up the Joe Mixon prop that you took, because as soon as you said it, I'm like, wait a second. What are you doing here, Mike? Because I know that you don't really like Joe Mixon, but it makes sense from a DFS perspective. And I know that you've mentioned almost like hedging your bets and playing DFS together at the same time. So I do think that makes a ton of sense as well. Before we move into the actual game and the matchups, Mike, I did just real quickly want to ask you about showdown lineup rules. And I know that this is something that you've talked a lot about before in the past as well. So just real quick, run through the things that maybe matter most to you. If you play a quarterback, how many of his pass catchers should you include in that same lineup? Should you maybe try to stack a running back with a defense together? What kind of game flows can you play kickers in? Can you play both kickers together? What are some rules that you look at in the showdown format?
Yeah, I'll start with the kickers. You can definitely play both kickers together, in my opinion, when it's this kind of game. And what I mean by this kind of game, it's a dome. It's a controlled environment. They both have the leg strength to kick 50-yard field goals. So that's one that I'd be very open to it. And then furthermore, we've talked about the severe lack of value. There's not a ton of $3,000 players like there would be on a normal slate. So their floor and ceiling is quite high for their price point. So definitely can play both of them. If you wanted to play a quarterback in the captain spot, I would triple stack them in this game. I think that that's really the only way that a quarterback becomes the truly optimal captain is if you were to triple stack them. So on the Bengals side, you want to play Joe Burrow. I would probably play him with Chase Higgins and then either Boyd or Joe Mixon, people who can catch passes. But I would triple stack it, bet on them putting up enough points for him to truly get there. I think it's highly unlikely that it comes all to one of the receivers personally. As far as defenses and running backs, I think that that's fine. But I think what's most interesting here, the two most interesting things that can also allow you to get different, it's okay to play a defense against several players. So I'll have lineups with three Bengals in them with the Rams defense and potentially even a Bengals captain player with the Rams defense. So there are many scenarios where the Rams defense can have a big day, can score a defensive touchdown, which again creates more opportunity for Cincinnati to throw the football, rack up reception points for some of the receivers. So don't be afraid of that. It's very unconventional when you think about it in your head. And then the last one would be, say you want to play Cooper Kupp at the captain spot, right? You naturally are going to want to plug Matthew Stafford in that spot. Not necessary. If all of the action goes to Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford, Matthew Stafford probably isn't going to outscore Joe Burrow. It's okay to stack the opposite quarterback with someone like Cooper Kupp in that spot, because Cooper Kupp having a big day is definitely correlated to more opportunity for Joe Burrow to throw. We've seen a little bit of Joe Burrow wanting to run over the last few weeks. So just little things like that, I think can really help make a difference. And again, it's a one game slate. So you just need that guy to outscore him by literally 3 to 4 yards in some of these situations.
All right, good stuff there from Mike. If you haven't already, join our FFT DFS Super Bowl Showdown Contest. It's our biggest contest yet. 200 entries, $5 to enter. The top 20 gets paid out, and you can find the link in the podcast or the YouTube description. I know that we've tweeted it out a few times already. Mike, I know that you're offering up a special prize for those who finish in the top three. I don't want to mess up the name here, so remind people of the NFT that you'll be giving out to the top three winners here.
They are three Tenacious Tigers, an NFT project that I'll actually be involved with going forward. So very excited about that. Very excited to distribute to those to a lot of the people in the community. And I'll definitely help anyone and everyone get set up if they are interested in trying to obtain one of the tigers.
All right, Mike, I think you and I are going to have to talk afterwards too, because I've tried to get into the NFT space, you know, Top Shot, the sports stuff for sure. These like avatar picture ones, I've kind of struggled with. So we'll talk afterwards and we'll figure it out. Programming, for those who might be wondering, what happens after the Super Bowl? It's a good question. We'll have just one podcast next week, and it's going to kind of be a send-off for a while. It's going to be a season recap, a Super Bowl recap. We'll have some fun. We'll talk about different strategies and things that we noticed throughout the course of the season. But unfortunately, we've got other things going on as well. Obviously, the early edge is ramping up. I've got some baseball duties. So we're going to say goodbye to FFT DFS following next week for, I don't know, next couple of months. And then, of course, as we get closer to like the NFL draft and, you know, best ball season starts rolling back up, then the podcast will return. So just worth mentioning, we appreciate all of you. First season here, it's been a lot of fun. We appreciate all of your support. If you haven't already, give us a 5-star rating on Apple and leave a review. We certainly would appreciate that. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to deep dive the game, the matchups, the salaries here on FFT DFS.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, so let's jump right into the game. The Bengals at the Rams. The Rams are now -3.5 on Caesars. Still seeing some four and a half out there as well. So it's interesting. This spread is kind of ranging between 3.5 and 4.5 as of now. The total, 48.5 for the game. And we'll start with the quarterbacks, who we've talked about quite a bit so far here. Matthew Stafford is $10,800, and Joe Burrow is $10,600. They are the second and third highest priced players on the slate, respectively. Sia, what do you think about both quarterbacks? Are you trying to get both in your lineup? Is there one that you like more than the other? Stafford, Burrow, Sia, go.
So initially, none of them were making it into my lineups. And that's because I was focused on the Rams running the ball and the Rams defense dominating the game. And I was putting in Bengals pass catchers, but I wasn't pairing them with Joe Burrow. So now, because there is some confusion with the Rams backfield, I think I'm altering sort of, that's still my primary game script, running the ball behind a stout defense, but I am definitely altering some lineups to Matt Stafford chucking it around, which we know they like to do. It's not like this is a running team. This is a passing team. My thought on running the ball is it's just going to be way easier to run the ball on the Bengals rather than pass. And frankly, you know, I've said this before, if Kansas City had decided to do that in the second half last week, or I should say a week and a half ago, they'd probably be in the Super Bowl instead of the Cincinnati Bengals. You remember McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire were rushing for well over, collectively, well over 5.5 yards per carry. I think on average they were 5.7 yards per carry, and they just kind of abandoned the run. So I think that is the path to kind of handling the Bengals. With that said, listen, it's certainly within the range of outcomes, like Mike suggested, to fade all of the running backs and play Matt Stafford and play him with Odell Beckham and Cooper Kupp. You can kind of rotate who you want in that captain spot. You know, for me, I probably will want the savings, and there's not much savings between Kupp and Stafford. So maybe pick one of those two, but I might do one with Odell Beckham, just hoping he gets a deep one among some other catches. So I'm playing Stafford more than I'm playing Joe Burrow. That doesn't mean I'm not playing two of his pass catchers though. So it's just, that's unfortunately the game script I've chosen. It hasn't paired Burrow with the pass catchers, which I may need to rethink, but that's what I'm doing so far. It's a Rams-dominated game. They're doing it with the run and the pass, perhaps, and then I'm getting one or two pass catchers back with the Bengals.
All right, Mike, if we're just comparing the quarterbacks here in this spot, just throughout the course of the season, I think Matthew Stafford has been more consistent than Joe Burrow. I think he has a higher floor. On the other side, I do think that Burrow has a higher ceiling, as we saw in week 16 and 17 when he had those two four-touchdown games. I'm not predicting that's going to happen, but we've seen it happen, so that means it is a possibility. That upside is there for one Joe Burrow. You've already kind of referenced you're not really in on Matthew Stafford, but what do you think about the two at their respective costs in this spot?
Yeah, so I'm more likely to play Burrow than Stafford. The reason for that is just the game scripts that I'm projecting most, and that's a game script that's neutral or trailing for the Bengals. In the event that the Rams are winning, the Rams are neutral, I still expect involvement in the running game. Matthew Stafford, his fantasy production, in my opinion, is going to be more touchdown dependent than Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow, we see him run a little bit more. I played his over on his rushing yards already. I think he can pick up 20 to 30 rushing yards in this game, which again, not insignificant on a one game slate when you're trying to outscore just one other quarterback. But I see the opportunity there, right? I see the opportunity for him to be behind, to rack up those yardage points. So I like Burrow more than Stafford. As far as where I'm playing them, I have lineups without either quarterback where I'm focused on pass catchers and field goal kickers, because I do think both of these defenses will be able to tighten up just enough in the red zone. And I think these teams still are a little more conservative than some of the other teams we're used to seeing. So I do think we see field goals kicked in this game, frankly. But I'm playing more Burrow than Stafford. Don't have a ton of interest in playing them together unless I'm doing some crazy things where I'm playing a kicker captain type lineup. I could play them both in there just to get super different and then isolate one receiver for each, which would be Kupp and Higgins. But yeah, for me, it's going to be Burrow over Stafford if I get to either one of them.
All right, let's move on over to the running backs, and we'll start with the Bengals side of things. Joe Mixon, $9,600 over on DraftKings. Samaje Perine all the way down at $2,400 on this slate. The Rams allow just 3.65 yards per carry to running backs, third lowest in the NFL. That is the regular season and the postseason combined. Joe Mixon, I know that, Tia, you are on the under in his receiving yards, and that's because he hasn't really been that great in that regard. Under 4 yards per carry in 7 of his last 8 games. However, getting more involved as a pass catcher, 5.8 targets per game over his last 5. What do you think about the price tag for Joe Mixon at 9,600? And then Samaje Perine, maybe if we want to save some salary, down at 2,400.
Yeah, and just to be clear, I'm on the under in his rushing yards. You may have said receiving there. So yeah, okay. Under on his rushing yards of 63.5, or it's probably at 62.5 now, and I still like the under there. You know, I think there are paths for Mixon, but I definitely think it's through the passing game. The problem with that is Samaje Perine really is coming in quite a bit more than Mixon is on third down. So that doesn't mean Mixon's not playable, but it does mean I'm probably not playing him, because I think he's going to have to really catch a lot of passes and maybe get in the end zone to really get to where you'd want him to be. So for me, he's a fade. I haven't really gotten to Samaje Perine. As much as I like him as a third down back, as much as I like his over of 8.5 receiving yards and perhaps over 1.5 catches. I still think 2,400, I don't think it's too much. I just don't think you get there when you're making the lineups. It's really hard to get to Samaje Perine because typically you have to go lower to like the Skowronek's and the Chris Evans and Jake Funk's of the world if you want to dive that deep. So I'm really kind of avoiding this backfield. I do think, and I think Mike suggested this a show or two ago, and I totally agree. I think Ja'Marr Chase maybe gets involved in the backfield a little bit too. That might take a little bit away from Joe Mixon. Keep in mind, they've had a couple weeks to game plan. They just saw what Debo has done all season, but last game as well. It really makes sense to get Chase the ball behind the line of scrimmage. So that's another thing to consider, maybe a knock on Mixon. This is a really tough one. So I'm going to be off of Mixon and Perine most likely.
All right, you got to take your stand somewhere, and that's where C is going in terms of the Bengals running backs. For the Rams, Cam Akers, the price is very affordable, but now he's dealing with this shoulder injury. He left the conference championship game. He returned to that game, but limited at practice on Wednesday. Cam Akers, $6,400 on this slate. Sony Michel, just a little bit cheaper at $5,000. Darrell Henderson is $1,600, so he's very cheap. Not sure what the role is going to be, but expected to return off of IR here for the Los Angeles Rams. Mike, we mentioned taking stands on the Rams running backs here. What are you thinking in terms of this position group?
Yeah, as of right now, I'm mostly going to be off of the Rams running game. If I play one, it'll be Akers, but I'm mostly going to stay off of it. It doesn't feel good. It's not comfortable, but I'm going to focus heavily on kickers and defenses in this game. I think that they're just because of what I'm projecting the Rams to be in a timeshare. I think that we see the three-way split, to be honest with you. So especially with so much time to prepare for this game, kind of like Sia mentioned with the Ja'Marr Chase thing. So as of right now, my stance is going to be off of Ja'Marr Chase, off of the Rams running game, and fill out the lineups in those other ways. I do have some interest in Mixon. I thought what Sia said was super sharp and super interesting about Samaje Perine, and I totally agree. It's very difficult to get to Perine. So he hasn't flashed a ton of upside in terms of the yardage. He had one big play against Kansas City, happened to go for that touchdown. Outside of that, like, yes, he's been on the field. Yes, he's caught a few passes. But the scenario that I think that he like really drastically exceeds his value at that price point is honestly the scenario that Mixon gets hurt and leaves the game. And if that happens, Chris Evans is going to have opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I would much rather play him at $400 and stack the rest of my lineup up personally, just because there's so much attention and so much focus on Samaje Perine. Like, we're talking about them. Everyone is talking about him. We're talking about his player props, all those things, right? In my opinion, he's definitely going to be over-owned in these contests as people are desperately searching for value. I would way rather try to jam in the kickers personally. Just where their price points are at. So I'm off Perine as well.
All right.
And Frank, the one thing I wanted to add, and it's kind of like my last stand on Cam Akers, because listen, I agree with the sentiment that it's really hard to touch any of those running backs. If you are going to do that, though, if you decide you want to play a Rams running back, you kind of have to go all in, right? So I do think there's a scenario where you play Cam Akers as a captain. You say to yourself, okay, you know, Sony Michel has been very ineffective. Darrell Henderson is, you know, hasn't played in 2 months. And we know Cam Akers is going to start the game. I mean, we're pretty positive about that. So if he, quote, has a hot hand early and he's getting, you know, 4 or 5 yards per carry, then I don't think he's going anywhere. And then all of a sudden you have that same narrative that we talked about at the beginning of last week, which is Rams defense is slightly dominant and you have the running game that's also dominant. So I would be very careful to listen to Sean McVay and just like, oh, it's going to be a 3-back committee. That might be true, but that doesn't mean if you make 5 lineups, you don't have 1 or 2 of them with Cam Akers in it or with Cam Akers potentially as a captain, because that is a very easy path. If you think about it, if he ends up being the quote hot hand and the guy that starts and finishes the game, it's a very easy path to really kind of like dominating your tournament. If everybody else is like, well, I can't play any of these running backs. And if I do, I'm certainly not playing him as a captain.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, when it comes to the captain spot, if you're looking for someone in that mid tier that can outperform their projection, Cam Akers is one of those players. T. Higgins is one of those players. And it allows you to maybe do some other things and spend up at your flex spots by using one of those mid-tier players as your captain on this slate. Let's move over to the Bengals pass catchers. Ja'Marr Chase is 10,400. T. Higgins is 7,600. Tyler Boyd down at 5,400. And then C.J. Uzomah is $4,400 on the slate. And per Ben Baby, who covers the Bengals for ESPN, he said, quote, Bengals coach Zach Taylor said it's hard to say for certain if tight end C.J. Uzomah will be able to play on Sunday in the Super Bowl. Said he'll be evaluated today and tomorrow. That was tweeted out earlier today on Thursday, February 10th. So as much as C.J. Uzomah wants to play, I get it. Obviously, it's the Super Bowl. It's the biggest game of his life. There's still some uncertainty on how healthy he is and what his role might be. Mike, we'll start with you this time. Bengals pass catchers, you've talked about fading Ja'Marr Chase. So expand on that and maybe what happens here if C.J. Uzomah is either ruled out or severely limited in this game.
Yeah, so the Ja'Marr Chase fade for a couple reasons. One, the price point is a little high. Two, he's going to face his own defense, and the Rams run this zone defense a lot, and his yards per route fall off a cliff when they face zone defenses. And it makes a lot of sense, similar to, you know, some of these other big play threats. It does limit the big play threat. What you want if you're Ja'Marr Chase or if you are the Bengals, do you want Ja'Marr Chase in man-to-man coverage? It's impossible to stop him against man-to-man coverage. Fortunately, the Rams aren't going to run a ton of that. I think they're going to focus on him. I think their big focal point is going to be not give up the big play. If Joe Burrow is going to consistently make plays and march down the field and beat them, so be it. But they're not going to get there on two plays on a drive. That's just my opinion on how they're going to field it. And then on the other side, T. Higgins actually is slightly better against his own coverage. Definitely doesn't fall off at all. But if there's any additional focus on Ja'Marr Chase whatsoever, I really like Higgins. I think he's a huge threat over the middle of the field. I think Joe Burrow obviously trusts him a lot. The price point is a lot better. So I like Higgins. I'll be playing him more than Ja'Marr Chase. The only caveat on Ja'Marr Chase, like Sia, like I mentioned earlier, I think they're going to try and put the football in his hands as much as possible. Getting him the ball behind the line of scrimmage is probably a good idea. He's got just so much upside anytime he touches the football. So we'll be watching out for that. But in DFS, just the popularity level, the big game, like I think I have to take that stance. It's not going to feel great. Like you're obviously always fading that 75-yard touchdown. But I'm going to do it. I like T. Higgins. I think it's a perfect spot for him.
All right, what do you think about the C.J. Uzomah situation?
I'm very anxious to see where the sports books open the lines on it. So the good news is it'll be a last minute call on my lineups, but I'll look for where the player prop is on it, and that'll give me an indication of how healthy the general market thinks he is. And we'll go from there. But as of right now, I don't have a ton of interest in playing it. I think that it's really difficult to get there. It's really difficult to get to some of the backups. I think just general tight end note, what I plan to do if C.J. Uzomah is active and Tyler Higbee is active, if those guys play, that's when I want to play Blanton and Sample. If they're inactive and Blanton and Sample are tight end ones, I'm totally off the tight ends. I just want them in the situation where they're not going to be the lead deal. I think that they're still going to play. Like I don't envision the scenario where C.J. Uzomah, Tyler Higbee, if they are able to play in this game, I don't envision the scenario where they're playing a full complement of snaps and playing every single snap. I don't think it's possible. The injury risk is obviously incredibly high for a re-injury when both players are being rushed back. So that's the scenario where I'd want to play the backups. Again, if they're ruled out and it's the backups from day one, I'm totally off the tight ends.
All right. So if the tight ends are active, maybe look to play the backups there. You're going to get them at much lower ownership as well. That is Kendall Blanton and Drew Sample over on the Bengals side of things. Let's talk about the Rams pass catchers and see if you get the enjoyment of talking about one Cooper Kupp, the best, arguably, wide receiver in the NFL. The price tag here, $11,600. His teammate, Odell Beckham, $8,400. We see 69 yards or a touchdown in each playoff game so far for OBJ, a 24% target share in the playoffs. On the other side of that, Van Jefferson, He's 5,200. The targets have gone way down, just 10% target share in the playoffs. And much like CJ Uzama, Tyler Higbee dealing with the sprained MCL did not practice on Wednesday. It sounds pretty bad for Higbee. And Kendall Blanton is his backup there, who went 5-57 on a 12% target share back in the conference championship. Sia, how are you looking to attack the Rams pass catchers in this game?
So I think there's three pass catchers to focus on, and Van Jefferson is not one of them. I just don't think he's going to get enough of a share to be confident in playing him. If you want to throw a dart there, that's fine. But the dart that I'd want to throw would probably be Kendall Blanton. And that's just because people aren't going to want to play him. And we know that the tight end position is a big part of the Rams offense. We know how well he did last week. He's priced up just enough where I just think he's going to be avoided for the most part. So if you want to stick him in your lineup instead of, let's say, Odell Beckham, because you're saying, well, Odell Beckham's going to get more opportunity, but Kendall Blanton has perhaps more touchdown equity, I think that's fine. I don't think that's a problem if that's how you want to get different with your lineup. I do like Cooper Kupp. I mean, as much as I want to try to fade him, maybe I'll fade him in my captain spot, and that's my, you know, alleged fade. But the reality is I just think, especially against the Bengals defense, I think they did a good job trying to limit Tyreek Hill, especially in the second half last game. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that the way they play defense. I don't think they're going to be able to do that to Cooper Kupp. I think he's going to get plenty of opportunities. So I like Kupp. I like Odell Beckham, not as much as I liked him last game. So it's Kupp and Beckham for me. But I do think Blanton is a good pivot off of Beckham.
Yeah, and this is a solid matchup for the Rams wide receivers as well. The Bengals have allowed a wide receiver to score a touchdown in 9 straight games. They've allowed multiple wide receivers to score a touchdown in the same game 2 different times. So it seems like a pretty safe bet that someone will see the end zone here, whether it's Cooper Kupp, whether it's Odell Beckham, or Van Jefferson somehow on maybe some kind of deep play here. Mike, anything that you'd like to add on the Rams pass catchers?
I love Odell Beckham. I think it's a great spot for him. You know, I think that if you want to get creative in the betting market too, say you can't quite get to Odell Beckham in your lineups and you've got a lot of Cooper Kupp and you're worried about him hurting you by not having him, there are some fun props out there that you can bet, basically bet Odell Beckham to have more receiving yards than Cooper Kupp, things like that, that offer some really, really nice payoffs. But I love him. I'll be playing him pretty heavily. It's to the point on Odell Beckham, honestly, where his ceiling is, that in the price savings, I'm considering playing him over one of the quarterbacks here in DFS.
All right. Yeah. And you're getting about a $2,000 savings when playing Odell Beckham instead of those quarterbacks. See, I realize I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. Are you worried about Ja'Marr Chase maybe as much as Mike is?
Yes, I'm not playing Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, it doesn't mean he's not going to make at least one of my lineups, but it's T. Higgins for me all day. I think, you know, with CJ Uzama being likely out or very ineffective, one of the two, I do think, like, as much as we think Boyd is going to be that guy, I really think Burrow, when he goes through his progressions, it almost doesn't matter what the coverage is. It's Ja'Marr Chase, it's T. Higgins. They really suck up a lot of the targets at 6'4" against the way the Bengals play defense. I see him kind of lowering his depth of target and being the safety blanket down the middle quite a bit. And that's part of the reason I like the receptions prop. So I like the price break. I'm taking T. Higgins.
Yeah. And I'll quickly just touch on Tyler Boyd. I like his over yardage prop. I believe it's at 40.5 right now over on Caesars, because the Rams play a lot of zone. I don't think that CJ Uzama will see a full complement of snaps or routes in this game, but I don't like the price tag in this spot. 5,400. It's just like in that middle part of, like, you know, it's just not low enough for me. I don't think the upside is massive either. So I think he can go over that yardage prop. He'll, you know, maybe he gives you like 5 for 45. But, you know, even then, like at his price point, I don't think it's worth paying for Tyler Boyd there. Everyone's favorite part of the podcast. And by everyone, I mean mine, because I like hearing Mike talk about kickers and defenses. So Evan McPherson is 4K. He has 11 plus DraftKings points in 9 of his last 10 games. Matt Gay, the Rams kicker, $3,800. He has 7 plus DK points in 9 of his last 10 games. And then we have the Rams defense down at 3,400 and the Bengals defense down at 3,200. Mike, maybe rank them in terms of priority that you want to play them. McPherson, Gay, Rams defense, Bengals defense.
I'll go Matt Gay first, Evan McPherson second, Rams defense third, Bengals defense fourth, and probably not going to play the Bengals defense. But I will play both kickers and the Rams defense for sure. And I like that you pointed out the number of fantasy points in the last X number of games or whatever. Go look at someone you just talked about. Tyler Boyd or Van Jefferson and go look at Sonny Michel, all those guys that are more expensive, how often they score double-digit fantasy points in their last 10 games, right? The kickers are absolutely a no-brainer in this contest.
All right. See ya. How about for you? Kickers and defenses. You playing them?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have probably a little bit more of Matt Gay than Evan McPherson, even though I understand McPherson's a better kicker. That's more a game script thing. And I think this Rams defense could really potentially take over this game. It's not one of those things where I think it's 100%, but I see a game script where they just can't protect Joe Burrow, and that leads to some sacks, potentially some fumbles, and potentially some picks. And it wouldn't shock me if the Rams get in the end zone.
All right.
If the Rams defense gets in the end zone.
The Don's sneaky pick, my pops. He's come through a few times here throughout the course of the season. Gabriel Davis, a couple of rounds ago, had that monster game against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Don was on him. Who does he have here in the Super Bowl? I called him up. I said, Dad, we need a sneaky pick. Who you got? He goes, T. Higgins. I said, that's not sneaky enough. He's $7,600. So the Don does like T. Higgins as well. But I said, give me another one. I need someone cheaper than that. Sony Michel, $5,000. So if something happens to Cam Akers, maybe we see it open up a little bit for Sony Michel. We know that the Bengals rush defense has struggled a little bit. That is the Don's sneaky pick here in the Super Bowl. Sony Michel at $5,000. We're going to wrap it all up like we've done all season long with our Super Bowl cheat sheet. This time, we will not be giving you a stack because, frankly, I think that would be kind of weird. There's only two quarterbacks and a bunch of pass catchers for those guys to choose from. So we will go chalk. We will go one contrarian pick, and we will go with our favorite captain pick here in the Super Bowl. Sia, you are up first, my friend.
I already missed stacking. I just want to say Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs, just so I can like feel that energy from before. Okay, so let's start with the chalk. I don't know if this qualifies as chalk. I'm pretty sure it does, even though I think it's kind of a value. T. Higgins at 7,600. I like him quite a bit, as I've said before. I'll go value next. It's Rams defense for me. To be honest with you, it was between Rams defense, Matt Gay, and Ben Skoronek. And I'm going to go Rams defense because I know I'm going to be playing a decent amount of them. And my contrarian play, and people might not think this is contrarian, but I do at this point, it's Cam Akers. I just don't think people are going to be willing to play much of him. They're certainly not going to be willing to play him in the captain spot, and I just might do that.
Well, Sia, I appreciate you giving us an extra value pick there, but I also need a captain pick from you, your favorite captain here.
Oh, my bad. Well,
it's all good.
That's interesting. T. Higgins is my favorite captain.
All right, so you've got T. Higgins as your chalk and your captain play. Just letting you know that.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, Michael, go, and then I'll change something.
All right, it's all good. Mike, you're up here. You got a chalk pick, a contrarian play, and your favorite captain on the slate.
Chalk pick for me is going to be Cooper Kupp. I'm going to not fade him at my own risk this week. I like him a lot. Contrarian play, we've mentioned it probably four times today. Chris Evans, playing him at $400. I think there's a scenario that he touches the football at least once in this game, and that will make me very excited. And then my captain, I'm going T. Higgins. He's my favorite captain spot. I'll give you a second one because we've all kind of talked about it. I'll say Joe Mixon. I think that Joe Mixon can score touchdowns in this game. No one's going to play him at captain relative to his true upside. So that's why I like him.
All right, see ya. You've had some time.
I owe you a chalk, is that right?
Either chalk or captain.
Well, let's go Cooper Kupp. I know that's the same as Mike. This is a one-game slate. It does make sense to play Cooper Kupp, so I'll go with that.
All right. The chalk pick for Sia, Cooper Kupp. His contrarian was Cam Akers. His captain was T. Higgins. For Mike, we had chalk was also Cooper Kupp. Contrarian, Chris Evans down at $400, and his captain play, either T. Higgins or Joe Mixon. Chalk, I mean, again, it's the Super Bowl. We've only had so many players to choose from. I'm going with T. Higgins as well. 7,600. We're all over T. Higgins. I can't wait till he goes like 3 for 40. It's going to be a great game. So I do like him in this matchup. I think that the Rams defense will really focus on trying to slow down Jamar Chase. And as a result, you know, we see some looser coverage for T. Higgins. I think potentially could get loose and targeted in the red zone as well. He's a really big body there in that part of the field. Contrarian, the Bengals DST. I don't think anyone wants to play the Bengals DST, and I get it. The Rams are playing at home. They have this high-powered offense. Stafford throwing touchdowns all season long, but they've put up 8-plus DK points in three straight games, and they've made some plays. They can get after the quarterback. They can turn the ball over. We've seen that throughout the course of this entire postseason. Stafford been prone to the interception as well. He's made some really, really bad throws this year, so maybe just maybe we can get a pick six here out of the Bengals defense at 3,200. I'm going to take a few shots on them. And then my captain spot, we talked about him a little bit earlier as well. Odell Beckham, 8,400. One of those mid-tier players who I think can outperform his projection, potentially have a really, really big game in this spot. I'm with you, Mike. I bet the over on his longest reception already. I got it at 22.5. I believe it's up to 23.5. Target share has been up. Three really strong games in the postseason as well. And the stage, the Super Bowl stage is a set for someone like Odell Beckham. I think we could see a really big game from OBJ here in this spot. All right, guys, we did it. Our first season is in the books. Regular season, postseason, Super Bowl, showdown, main slates. It's been fun. It's slowly wrapping up for the year. How do you think you we did this year, Cio? What grade would you give us?
I'd give us, because I always want to leave room for improvement. So I'm going to give us a B+.
All right. I can live with that. I've been a B+ player for a large portion of my life. Mike, what do you think?
I was going to say the B+ there. I don't know if I can one up them there. So I don't know. I'll say B or B+. Room for improvement. It's going to be great next year.
It's going to be great. I think it was great this year. It'll be even better next year as well. We will have one more podcast next week. But for these guys, for Sia and Mike, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching this Super Bowl edition of Fantasy Football Today DFS. We'll be back again on Tuesday. We will see you then.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.